What if one conversation could save a life? What if one new process or new product could save a patient from surgical harm? Broadcasting from a hospital basement near you, you are listening to the Beyond Clean podcast, the global voice of sterile processing. Each week we spotlight the best practices, products and people from around the world who are disrupting our profession and helping you fight dirty. Every instrument, every time. Join us as we have the kinds of conversation that matter and give our industry the kind of voice that it deserves. Nyt on aika mennä puhdastakin puhtaammaksi. And now it's time to go beyond clean.
This week on Beyond Clean, we speak with Moses Chang, Healthcare Sales Director at Xerify. Moses is a career entrepreneur, having been involved in several startups before joining the founding team to launch Xerify Healthcare. He has spent the last 12 years in the auto ID industry and instrumental in pivoting the company toward healthcare IoT solutions. He is currently leading the company's global business development and sales efforts to create an ecosystem of channel partners, medical device manufacturers, distributors, and service providers to bring this solution to their hospital clients worldwide. This has been something, Mike, that you and I have been very interested in. There were several vendors that we saw in the X-Vendor Expo at Isham's annual conference that had RFID technology. I think this is really something that everybody would benefit from in the industry. I've actually seen the technology, and I'm sure you have too, for quite a while in varying delivery systems and different product solutions, but the adoption I think has just not come along the way it needed to, and I feel like we're finally on the cusp of really bringing this to market, and I hope we learn a lot from Moses about it.
Yeah, you're right. You know, we talked to a couple of these vendors at the Isham show this past year, and some of the stuff that they were now capable of doing, you know, we kind of walked away and said, you know, I think this is finally the time that this is going to really take over. Because I know back when I first started doing work as a technician and studying for, you know, my CRCST with Isham, that, you know, RFID was kind of mentioned a little bit, but it was always kind of treated sort of like this outlying technology that exists, but nobody really uses it and doesn't really have a great application. But it was always kind of theoretically really amazing, but no one could ever bring the execution to the table. But it seems like we're really starting to get to that area where the execution really is there. And we're going to talk to one of the companies that may be bringing it to the table.
HealthMark has intelligent solutions for your cleaning verification program, including products to measure water temperature, water quality, cleaning efficacy, and directly test for residual soil left on instruments. Find your tools for cleaning verification at hmark.com. There you will learn about our TOSI and SonoCheck that test the performance of mechanical washers as recommended in sterilization standards guidelines. Other products like CartWash Check test for mechanical efficiency and target temperature. The ProCheck 2 can detect residual protein to a very low level. Go to hmark.com today for all of your cleaning verification testing needs.
It's 2023 and there's big news for IST, a closed warning letter, a new product launch, and a 10-year anniversary. OneTray IST has a lot to celebrate this year. OneTray's 2006 cleared 48-hour storage claim was acknowledged by the FDA, and the company is pushing forward, offering the total solution for reprocessing. OneTray maximizes reprocessing time. EasyTrax adds flexibility with instrument organization, and their upcoming product, OneCart, a sealed case cart with a smaller footprint and a perfect option for offsite sterilization, completes the total solution. Experience a year of efficiency with OneTray. For more information on the closure of the warning letter, visit OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. That's OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. Otherwise, you can reach out to the company by calling 937-619-0138 or visit onetray.com/contact.
Clean. Joining us now is Moses Chang, Healthcare Sales Director at Xerify. And I'm really excited for this one, Moses, because I'm a big fan of RFID, and I know it's something that everybody is just waiting for it to find its way into just total optimization of surgical instrument trays in the space. And so welcome to the show. I think everybody's really going to enjoy this one.
Oh, Justin, thanks for having me. I likewise have been a fan of your show. I ran into your earlier podcast about big data. I've been an avid listener ever since, so I'm really excited to be here today.
Excellent. I know we just throw out the term RFID, but we don't even define it. Maybe not everybody is clear on what RFID is. So let's give everybody the full definition of the acronym and then also talk about how it works and does it work in the CS and SPD space.
So in a nutshell, RFID, which stands for radio frequency identification, you can think of it as a smart barcode. It's better than a barcode because it uses radio waves to read and capture information that's stored on a tag that might be attached to an object. So unlike a barcode, you don't necessarily need to see it in order to scan an RFID tag. Now, there's two main types of RFID, which are passive and active. In the perspective of the hospital, probably one of the most widely understood and prevalent applications is RTLS, which stands for Real-Time Locationing System. RTLS very commonly uses active RFID, which has some sort of battery that generates power. So you can think of it almost as like a GPS beacon, and these tags tend to be a higher cost and larger in size. Now, if we're looking at it from the CS and SPD perspective, I think passive tags are much more commonly used, which are tags without any internal power source. So generally, they can be much smaller in form factor and much lower in costs. So we see hospitals use a combination of these technologies to really track all sorts of things, such as medical devices, pharmaceuticals, point-of-care consumables, furniture, and even patients.
So Moses, I was first introduced to RFID in the medical world when our biomedical engineering team decided to start, you know, sticking these RFID tags on all that equipment that's kind of mobile in the hospital, because they had this real problem with figuring out where things were when it was time to do inventories or updates or that sort of thing. So we kind of see the application already really starting to happen in regards to devices that are up on the floor. But so what's the application for using this technology specific to sterile processing departments and ORs?
When we zoom into the workflow of surgical instruments from the OR to SPD, we really found that there was a lack of this technology being used to create some of the same valleys that you just mentioned. I think even today, much of the management of instruments is still very highly manual and dependent on human intervention. And there's really little automation in tracking surgical sets, let alone, you know, item level instrumentation apart from manual counting and assembly. With the use of technologies such as RFID, CS departments now can have the ability to digitize every single item, creating automation that really reduces mundane tasks such as counting, data entry, thereby reducing costs, automation that forces compliance, thereby increasing safety, and it enables the capture of valuable data that helps not only the CS department, but the hospital as a whole to really make critical business decisions that affect both staff and patient experience.
Well, so Moses, you know, the folks listening to this episode in particular, they may be sitting here thinking, well, I don't even have any tracking system currently. I'm doing everything on paper. Or maybe I do have a tracking system, but I just got it. I just got approval for this. It does not have RFID. So am I even close to being able to convert into this level of tracking? Can you talk about to this audience, you know, who are the prime candidates for updating or converting to this level, instrument level tracking?
To start, let me kind of bring it up. If you look at what's happening with the UDI regulations, it's really no longer just a U.S. standard. We're seeing the same regulations coming up in Europe and China, and I believe it's just a matter of time before it becomes a global standard. So it's obvious the industry is evolving to meet the changing requirements of care and patient safety. But regulations sometimes are not enough. In order for the unification of the patient and instrument record to really materialize in any meaningful way, you can't just use practices that are reactionary or what I call just in case, especially at the instrument level. As we're seeing these regulations happening at a global level, of course, compliance is always a kickstarter to adopting new technologies, but what we've experienced is that hospitals are now realizing the real benefits of IoT technologies beyond compliance, and the digital transformation is happening as we speak. So in developing countries such as India or Brazil or China, we oftentimes see a leapfrog effect where they might go from a pen and paper system to RFID. Adoption is actually happening at a much faster rate. So to answer your question, Hank, I would say no. The only prerequisite here is that the institution has a standard of compliance in place, and they have a strong desire to enforce and follow those standards. So I would say that the culture is the most important.
Yeah, so that culture really is a willingness to be industry leaders. You know, RFID, this is my reference, you know, it's a tracking that we're more comfortable with, maybe in that mobile equipment sphere, but when it comes to instrument level or even tray level tracking, if we have these other options, you know, barcode tracking, if you will, I can see that argument being more difficult to the C-suite or to the CFO to say, hey, we've already invested all this other capital in tracking via barcode, why would we go one step further into tracking RFID? So the culture really is a comfort level with saying, yes, that took us one step closer from manual tracking on pen and paper to now we have a life cycle of where this tray has gone. But in RFID, you're telling us about more real life or real time tracking. Where is this tray? When does it go? Where does it go? And then being able to track all of that data. So I guess, you know, culturally speaking, they have to be comfortable with being on the leading edge rather than trying to play catch up.
Absolutely. And I would say rather the institutions that have adopted technologies such as barcode, they really understand that electronic documentation makes a huge difference. I think it's a rather straightforward migration for them.
So Moses, going back to kind of, you know, the capabilities of what the RFID is capable of doing, your particular product is capable of tracking it down to the individual instrument itself. So does this give us then the ability to essentially do the counting for us of the instruments, both, you know, in decontamination and prep and pack, and then especially on that back table on the sterile field where that count is so critical for patient safety and knowing if something got left behind?
Absolutely. And let me bring this into the perspective of first the OR and then the SPD. What we're now able to do is connect all these devices and assets, and in this case, a surgical steel, to communicate information in real time, hands-free at instrument level. If we look into the OR, surgical counts today are entirely manual. and the accuracy is completely dependent on human competence. I've met many peri-op nurses that are some of the best at what they do, and I would absolutely trust my life with them, but the fact of the matter is there's still one case of RSI for every 1,500 surgeries performed, and it costs hospitals hundreds of thousands of dollars to rectify. And that's not even including time spent searching for missing instruments or downtime if there's some missing item.
Can you define for us what RSI is?
RSI is retained surgical items. I'm not saying that this technology is going to replace manual counting. I don't think that will happen anytime soon. But what if we can make that count entirely accurate every single time? And we can really streamline that process so that compliance happens much more efficiently and much faster. Now, moving to the SPD, as instruments are leaving the OR and entering decontam, I was surprised to hear that some hospitals, they often lose instruments and they magically disappear en route. There was either an error in human count, the instrument was mistakenly discarded, or someone just added to their personal collection. I read a report that states at an average 500-bed hospital, 30% of the hospital's total annual investment budget is expense for lost instruments. So hospitals are asking for visibility to ensure that every single accountable item that left the OR enters central sterile. For washing and sterilization, being able to have a digital record of which items went through which machines, how long were they in there? Did they use the correct chemicals? Who touched it? These are some of the data points that are missing today because there's not a practical way of capturing this data at an instrument level. And like you mentioned, Justin, hospitals are increasingly working to decrease the instances of hospital-acquired infections. It's becoming more obvious that electronic records of every process, the hands that touch them, the places they travel, the maintenance records, this data is no longer good to have, but really a vital component of overcoming this challenge.
That's true, Moses. There's so many gaps in the life cycle of a surgical instrument, you know, from the CSSD to the OR, then back again, you know, what happens, what's used, what's not. I know we're going to talk about opportunity to optimize here in a bit, you know, but really, if it's missing items or if it's unused items, you know, having data that can tie a particular instrument to a particular person in a particular cycle on the washer, a particular cycle on a sterilizer, that's a kind of data that we need, but for many facilities without RFID, obviously, that's unattainable. So, you know, this kind of topic obviously is very exciting for us on Beyond Clean, but I know it's going to be engaging for the audience. In a practical sense, you know, one of the questions that may come out of this is what does it look like to implement an RFID system like Serify, for instance, to say, okay, I've got a tracking system, maybe no tracking system at all right now, but I've got all these surgical instruments. How do I go from 0 to 60 to have unmarked, just normal stainless steel instruments to RFID trackable instruments? What does that look like in a practical setting?
So in a nutshell, the solution boils down to lifecycle management and workflow management. Depending on how intricate that the institution is looking to capture data, we would normally look at really the core stations or processes, such as decontam, assembly, inventory, and the OR. I think these are the essential components of the workflow management piece. Now, depending on, again, how intricate that they're looking to capture the data, we can be outfitted into, for instance, the washing machine as trays are moving in and out, or even the sterilizer as trays are moving in and out. So again, there's, I think, different levels of data capture, really depending on their appetite for this technology.
So kind of piggybacking on that, and along with something that, you know, a show that you mentioned earlier, which was, you know, the big data episode with one of our good friends, the podcast, Brian Reed, that idea of taking that data and then, you know, using it to optimize our surgical sets and our inventory and our kits. Because, you know, as we all know, most of the time hospitals very often really have no clue how many instruments they have. They have no clue how many have been lost. And so what kind of impact can RFID have on hospitals' ability to optimize their inventory and their kits? And, you know, does that help make the business case for this kind of investment?
Great question. This is a key area of operational efficiency, and I think it's right where CS can lead the way. The optimization of kits and inventory really truly can't be solved without understanding the usage, how these instruments are utilized. There's such little data that the hospitals have today on how their instruments are utilized in specific procedures. They often build kits the way they do because that's just how they've always built them. We know from spending time listening to our customers that upwards of 40 to 50% of instruments for standard procedures seldom get used, and many of them exist just in case. Yet hospitals are repeatedly reprocessing these instruments at a cost of anywhere from 75 cents to a dollar plus per cycle. Now, with RFID in the operating room, we know exactly which instruments are leaving the back table and entering the sterile field. And so we can now capture utilization data for every single procedure. If a hospital knows that this minor tray for this hip replacement only consistently uses 40% of its contents, 30% gets seldomly used, and 30% has never been used over 100 surgeries, can they effectively remove that 30% that's never used? Can they peel pack the seldomly used 40% that's just in case? These are operational efficiency questions that can only be addressed with the ability to capture data autonomously. And that's really the key here, is the ability to capture data. There's many companies out there building incredible transformative products and platforms for the industry in terms of big data and AI and really the digital transformation, but not enough emphasis is put on the ability to capture that data in the first place. That's operationally feasible and efficient. So our position is, unless enabling of data occurs, there really can't be any processing or decision making from that data that really benefits the customer.
Moses, this is Justin. You know, one of the things that I get asked all the time from customers that I work with is, you know, how long should this instrument last? What's the life cycle of this instrument? My first answer to that is, who are your surgeons and what kinds of transportation do you have to protect the life of the instrument, et cetera, that it's always very conditional, I would say, to the customer. And even then, I would say there's really not any effective ways of measuring the life cycle of an instrument. Would this give you that same ability when we talk about big data? Would it help people understand the average lifespan? Because people want to make business decisions on repair over replacement, and I just don't feel like there's any good data in the industry. I mean, there's some general guidelines that I think are effective enough today, but for somebody to really say, well, wait a second, you know, how much does this instrument cost me? And some places will say their instrument should last 30 years. Some places have a lifetime warranty, and obviously warranties are what they are. But for sterile processing and their partners in supply chain to really work together and do cost analysis, do you feel like this is another positive to being able to go to something like RFID?
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head. Is really the data that's going to answer those types of questions. Like you mentioned, Justin, you know, who's using it? What surgeries and procedures are these instruments being used for? How many times has it been sterilized? Through which processes? You know, what's the manufacturer's warranty or recommended lifespan? So all these things talking to each other, being processed together, really is going to answer some of those challenging questions that really the institutions have no data to make decisions on currently.
So speaking of data, and, you know, going back to one of the main visions for Beyond Clean is truly getting this decontamination stage right, but not only decontamination, also, you know, packaging and sterilization. The question always comes is, true compliance possible? Is 100% compliance and documented compliance possible in the current state? And if not, what is the future state, or what is the potential state for RFID technology? How could that help us get to that traceable, transparent life cycle of a processing instrument to know that it had met all of its IFU parameters in terms of reprocessing?
Absolutely believe in 100% compliance, and I think we're already seeing a number of hospitals working relentlessly towards it. As I mentioned before, you know, developing a strong culture is the first step. What we need is a dedication and desire of everyone involved, from management to staff to really uphold excellence and standards of care. I was browsing your website, your Beyond Clean website, and I saw a phrase that I really liked. He said something along the lines of hardwiring sterile processing excellence across the continuum. I think that really sums up nicely what we're working towards here at Xerify Healthcare. Our goal is not to change their current process, but just to make it more efficient and really to hardwire that compliance. How do we leverage technology to augment the staff's abilities? How can technology be used to make their jobs easier while increasing the quality of results? And I'll just give you a few examples of what RFID technology might look like in your workflow. What if, as instruments were being received in decontam, used and unused instruments were scanned to record utilization in that particular procedure? What if a person at the assembly station holds up an endoscope or an instrument and IFUs automatically pop up on their screen? What if you can marry the instruments to the tray tag, so even when it's sealed and sitting in sterile inventory, you always have a digital record of the entire contents of that tray just by scanning the outer tag? What if data capture is automated every time something is pushed in and out of a washer or a sterilizer? What if data entry happens in the background while you're doing that? What if sterile kits sitting on the shelf and inventory can be monitored in real time for movement and location? And in the OR, what if instruments that are laid out on the back table are automatically read in a matter of seconds, and the manual count is then performed just for validation? I think these are some of the possibilities, and these are things that hospitals around the country and the world are now looking into.
Yeah, I would say, especially the one you talked about, what if the IFU popped right up? That's something that we've talked about on the show in the past. It's like, what's the best way? I mean, there was even a episode where we were talking about Google Glass, where the IFU might even pop right up on not necessarily a screen right in front, but that it would actually show potential like videos and how to do all of that. I know that's looking way, way in the future, but RFID certainly could make that a much less, the idea of even scanning a barcode on every instrument for the IFU seems like that could get cumbersome in decon. And so I like where you're going with that. And I think the possibilities really are limitless, and definitely when it comes to optimization. So thank you for really, I'd say, wrapping the interview with kind of a vision of what things can be like and how much easier we can make the workload, especially in terms of, you know, recording. Sometimes it's like we can get the data, but how do we record it and how do we interface it? And it sounds like you have some really good ideas about how we can do that in the future too.
Absolutely. And you know, having been participating in conferences like ISHM for the last 5 or 6 years and really diving deep with the industry and the people and the feet on the ground, we're really excited at the stage that this technology is, and really looking forward to, you know, the impacts it's going to continue to make.
That was Moses Chang, Healthcare Sales Director at Xerify, on RFID and changing the landscape of instrument tracking. And we went all over the place, honestly, Hank, and I think we wrapped really looking at a vision for the future of what the implications could be with this technology. And I know the RFID concept for instrument level tracking has been around for a while, but just getting it off the ground, not only in terms of financial commitments, but sort of getting surgeons to accept RFID tags and technology on the instruments has been a challenge. But I really do feel like we're very, very close to seeing this essentially revolutionize the industry and how we do business today.
True. The future for sterile processing data, I think, lies in RFID technology. Obviously, just as you mentioned, there's a conversion window there. How do we get from, you know, zero, no tracking to barcode tracking to RFID technology? And I think Moses, you know, gave some good examples there of how that transition actually happens. But at the end of the day, if we want data and if we understand that data drives optimization and efficiency, the only way that we're going to be able to track at the instrument level and the tray level to true compliance, to 100% efficiency, you've got to have RFID technology, because it can drive not only on the sterile processing tracking, but also in the OR. And that's where a lot of these current tracking systems break down. Scan the barcode, the case cart. We hope it ends up in the OR. We hope it's all used, but we really don't know. And then what happens at the back end? You know, so I'm excited about this. Obviously, like you said, Justin, the challenge is getting that adoption in the OR from the surgeons themselves, from the nurses and scrub techs to say that we're okay, you know, utilizing these instruments. They will have a tag on them, for instance. But I think the data that you get all by itself makes the argument this is really needed to drive the future of improvement in sterile processing, to give them what they need and not give them what they don't.
That's a great point. And you know, I'm glad that we referenced the Brian Reed interview, which has been a long time. It was one of the first episodes we ever had. But plugging this data into an even bigger sort of concept for managing all of your instrumentation and surgical inventory is really huge. So the better data we can get, the more we can take advantage of the advantages of big data. So that's going to do it for this week's show. As a reminder, you can help support us by subscribing to Beyond Clean on iTunes and Stitcher, and now also on Google Play and Spotify. Simply search for Beyond Clean Podcast. We'd certainly appreciate a rating and a review, because your feedback is important to the show. And if you have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, or if you'd like to share a picture anonymously on our Instagram page, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. On behalf of Hank, Mike, and myself, thank you for listening to another edition of Beyond Clean.